Go ahead.
I was thinking, like, are you waiting for the white noise to pass? And just like, frankly, the two of us, it's just white noise from this on in.
Is it all we are?
You know what we could do is we could sell our services as white noise.
Mm-hmm.
Like all this nattering, like for people who gets tired of listening to the beach.
Mm-hmm. I've already got a name for it.
What is it?
White boys, white noise.
I love it.
There you go.
There you are. Okay, listen, guys, we've got our business plan together. Let's start the show.
Let's start the show.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
And you're listening to Sneaky Dragon. According to our records, check these against your own.
That's right.
It's episode 146.
For those scoring at home.
Right.
Yeah.
146 is the only prime number that cannot be divided by itself.
146?
Yeah, that's not true at all.
It's the only prime
not at
number.
All. No.
So what is a prime number again?
What prime number?
Is a number that can't be divided by itself. It's a house. A house divided
against itself will
cannot
not,
stand.
Yeah, cannot stand
the
math.
Rain. Cannot stand the rain.
Oh, either way is window. Good to go. See, okay. This is the kind of white noise that would be good for. Welcome to the show, everybody. We are. Let me start by saying something. I think you're going to be very happy about, Dave.
Okay,
Dave.
Yes,
you're going to be very pleased with this. Now, those of you that were listening for the last a couple of weeks ago, Dave was encouraging everybody to vote in the Georgia Strait Best Podcast competition. And Dave's one thing that he wanted was, we do not want to tie for third place.
We don't want to tie. Clean third. That's what I asked for.
No, you said we do not want to tie for third place. Yeah. That was what you said. And Dave, we have not.
I know.
We aren't even placed. So Dave's wish.
The best part of it.
Him standing next to Jiminy Cricket looking up at that star. Let me tell you something. The puppet became a real boy, and the wish came true. We did not place at all.
Yes, the puppy became a real toy.
Sure.
Yeah. What made it best? Last year we tied with a local radio station for third best podcast.
Now let's say these are two different newspapers.
These are two different newspapers. No?
Yes. Yeah. We came in third in the West Ender.
Oh, okay.
And this is the Georgia Strait.
Okay.
Now
okay.
Both of them are free newspapers mm-hmm. that people use when they need to fill boxes with newspapers.
That's right. When you need to move your china.
Yeah.
Or any sort of breakables.
Or if you're training a dog.
Yeah.
Or if you're making paper mache.
Or you work in a fish and chip shop.
Absolutely. All of these are reasons people might pick up a copy of the West Ender or the Georgia Strait.
Yes.
Or say you were looking for ads for ladies of the evening. Those are in the back of the newspaper as well. You can find a place to make bad life choices. Those are there as well.
Yeah.
So
last year,
yeah,
we came in third. Tied with a local radio station.
Right. I think we were tied. I think oddly you're saying, if I'm remembering correctly, and this ties into something you were saying earlier, I think we tied with a fish and chip shop.
We did tie.
And we were like, they are not podcasters.
They're cod pastors. So then this time.
That's a pretty good name for a fish and chip shop is the cod pastors. And they all have to dress like ministers. And they just, you go up and it's like, would you like sacred sauce? And it's like, yes, we would. And you get a little of that.
Sacred
down there.
Sauce.
Yeah, sacred
I like
sauce.
It. It's good.
You know where they cook the things? In the fryers. Mm-hmm. And they have the guys dressed as fryers in the back and they only work the chips.
You're running with this. It's
this
great.
Is not bad,
this
actually. The cod pastors is pretty good.
Pretty good. So this time we.
Not good enough, by the way, to place.
No.
That's the best podcast. Though to be fair, this is as good as we've ever been.
This is the best. So this year we came in, or not this year, but in this particular poll, yeah. We came in nowhere. We came in, I don't think we appeared, right? Did they give Mm-mm. a placing for eighth place?
No, they did. I don't know where we are, yeah.
So, but what's equally amusing, this year we came in.
If you're looking, by the way, if you're looking at like the totem, like say a mm-hmm. totem pole, totem pole in Stanley Park,
yeah.
We're the hobo on the bench next to it peeing right. his pants.
That is us always.
That's us.
That's right. So, that is the cod pisters. Is that what that? No,
quit,
work.
No, didn't. Quit while you're behind.
So last year we lost to a local radio station.
Yes.
Or tied with a local radio station. This year we lost to a national radio station.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best part
and
of it.
And what was the radio station?
CBC.
Okay, now here's what I got to say, Dave. You and I are both, well, you are both American and Canadian. But as a Canadian.
As the Canadian part of me.
Right. As a Canadian, you pay taxes.
I do.
And the CBC is a public broadcaster.
That is true.
And Dave, and you and I are the public. So we fucking won! Third place! Woo! That's it. That's it. Because we are the CBC, my friend.
Well, what?
Maybe, we are. We are. You paid for it. You know, you've got to. There you are.
What and kind of upset me was, you know, when I was voting mm-hmm. on the Georgia Strait thing.
Right.
As I just thought it'd be wrong to vote for myself, so I voted for the CBC.
Mm.
So I'm probably that one vote. The one vote that right. put them into third place.
I would slam the CBC a bit more, but I'm applying for a CBC thing right now. So
and you yeah. write scripts for a CBC show.
Oh, I do as well, don't I? For CBC Radio.
Yeah.
But Dave.
Yes.
Because you're Canadian,
mm-hmm.
That show is yours as well.
It's mine as well.
Oh, by the way, that show did just win a Canadian Comedy Award.
Oh, for congratulations.
It wasn't for a sketch that I wrote, but... Oh. It was one for called Bee Circus, which is actually a hilarious, hilarious sketch.
Yeah.
And you should listen to it and whatever. But yeah, it was nice that the Irrelevant Show won the Canadian Comedy Award for that.
Good
so
be,
huzzah and hooray
good
to
Good of you to hitch your wagon to that star.
Mm-hmm.
Good work. So yeah, so we pretty much, that didn't work.
Yep.
So now we know, I have a feeling that this will work out just equally well for my Amazon Prime, trying to get people to vote for the Cosmopolitans. I have a feeling that... This is not going to work out either, and I will not be watching. I mean, I have no idea how it works, so.
Are they only picking one?
I don't know.
It seems silly.
I really don't know.
They're going to pick more
than
one.
Maybe three? I have no idea.
They're going to be fine. You know what? They're going to pick the ones they want to pick.
I think that's it. I think they kind of decide beforehand.
Yeah, it drums up the publicity, and then there you go.
And Whit Stillman, the writer-director of it, was told that they wanted a show in Paris. So he kind of wrote to order, so I almost wonder if they've already kind of made up their mind in that way, too.
Maybe.
And but apparently he was saying that there are no grants available for foreign filmmakers in France anymore, because Woody Allen took them all. And after he did it, they took it away. They're like, we don't want this one guy coming over here making movies all the time, so they just got
Why
rid of
don't they want that?
I don't know.
All right, then they are
because they're French.
Okay, then
and they don't say hot dog; they yeah. say le dog d'hot or something like that. Right.
Well, let me tell you. Then they are the only European country that does not want Woody Allen there making movies. Because man, Europe loves Woody Allen.
Sure,
they're crazy. They'll put a sculpture up of him yeah. in the middle of their town square. They do. Like, I'm trying to remember where was it Germany? Oh man, I'm trying to remember what it was. But like, you were walking down the street. It's like, is that Woody Allen? It is. It's like Woody Allen. Picture of him just walking down the street. Not picture, but sculpture.
It was a sculpture of him.
Yeah.
You see while you're walking down the street, or the sculpture is walking down the street.
Oh, that would be pretty good if it was like a robot.
It's a mobile sculpture.
Yeah.
It's one of those guys. Oh, he's just walking home.
Yeah, you got to give him a quarter, and then he'll start moving.
Well, his day is done. Like,
I get you.
Work.
No, I completely understand where you're coming
from. It's a hard day of standing on a bucket
mm-hmm.
covered in tin. What are they? I don't know how they do that.
Oh,
do they have like tin foil or like aluminum foil, or do they actually like cover themselves with paint or?
Well, all I'm thinking is it would be a great job for an actual robot. Like if you're an actual robot and you're trying to sure. find like a job,
sure.
pretend to be a robot,
mm-hmm.
bam, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, one, you got to like find work in a sci-fi movie, or two, or, you busk and you mm-hmm. do that kind of stuff.
Or become a mime.
Yeah.
And do the robot.
It's amazing that robot thing still flies. That's been going on. Yeah, Seals and Airmail were doing that in the 70s.
Yes, they were.
And people are still, hey, that's sort of like a robot.
I loved it so much.
You think there'd be something else now? Like
they had their own summer replacement show.
Oh, I remember it clearly.
Okay.
And they would have the couple in there who mm-hmm. were the robots.
The robot couple, that's right.
And they weren't very good. Okay, here's the thing about this. Those of you that don't know Seals and Airmail.
They were good looking. That's where they had going
they're,
for
they're
them.
Good looking people. Yeah. They're a good looking couple. I believe they were married.
Mm-hmm.
So they were.
That's why they had separate names.
They were blessed with God's grace, and they were famous for doing a robot thing where they were a robot couple, and so they have a nice house, and yeah. then it's like it's time to they're having company coming over. We've got to get things ready for dinner.
Yeah.
But these robots move in a weird way and smash a lot of stuff, and yeah. that's the yeah. gag.
I want to take issue with one thing you said there.
Okay, could I
which
just
is that they're famous for it? But anyway, go on.
Well, they were at the time. They were 70s famous.
Yeah.
If you had Battle of the Network Stars, you'd have a Shields and a Urinal on it.
On opposite teams.
You would, and then David Letterman would be, you know, the captain of that team, and yeah. he'd be a better athlete than you thought. So what always bugged me about that as a kid was you'd see them smashing up their house, and I'm like, how'd they get their house so nice in the first place?
Yeah.
Because they live in this thing, mm-hmm. and it's like, are they nervous robots? Like, why? What? You can't tell me that, like, if you started in chaos, I'm like, yeah, these guys in no way can fit in.
I didn't remember anything that you're talking about, but now that you're talking, you're reminding me of it. That's right. They're trying to make like a cake, and it's just a disaster because they drop the eggs into the bowl without breaking them, and
right.
It just goes on and on.
Here's what you could do.
It's endlessly amusing if you're in grade 7.
Perhaps. Some people complain now about like Saturday Night Live and how they repeat sketches. Oh lordy, on variety shows they would just repeat the same. Like I remember.
Well, isn't Saturday Night Live a variety show?
It is.
Yeah.
It is, but less variety. I mean, it's technically got music, but it's mostly a comedy show. But they had proper variety shows back in the day, whereas the person would come out, they'd do a song, they'd tell some jokes,
they'd
bring out the guest, Donny Marie or Sonny and Cher.
Sure.
Your every other show in the world. Yeah. Your Perry Como. Your Bobby Vintons.
Bobby Curtola.
Sure.
Randy Simard.
Your Brady Bunches.
Sure.
Whatever you have.
But I went Canadian there, deep Canadian.
I went Bobby Vinton. He had a Canadian show.
I thought Bobby Curtola was the Canadian show. Bobby Vinton was the Canadian
I think
one?
Bobby Vinton had a CTV show. We will look into that, everybody.
So did Renee Simard.
Your Tommy Hunters. We want to go Canadian. There you are. So, but like, here was a sketch they used to have on the Sonny and Cher show that I believe then made its way to the Cher show. This was it. It's the French Foreign Legion.
Yes.
Funny already.
Sure.
And there is a wagon over there, and there is a lion in the wagon.
Okay.
There's a lion, or perhaps a tiger. Perhaps there's a bear.
A tiger in Africa?
Some shit is in the fucking wagon.
Okay.
And the whole thing is, someone has to go in there and fight the lion.
Okay.
And you've got the three guys, and they all are like, they do the stepping back. Mm. And who's not stepping back? Marty Feldman. And Cher is the commander.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not doing it. No, you got to do it. I'm not doing it. Doing whatever the French accent.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. And then she like bends over and she kisses him like on both cheeks. And he's woohoo smitten because Cher kissed him.
Yeah.
And he goes in and gets the shit knocked out of him and then just comes out all torn up to bits.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then just collapses. And like she says some sort of remark. And that's the end of the sketch. Repeat. 12 times at least. At least 12 times. That's your sketch.
It's funny that I don't remember that sketch, and yet I was a fan of that show.
Of Sonny and Cher?
Yes, I watched it a lot.
Now, were you a fan of when they split up and it was Sonny, and then there was also the Cher show?
I don't remember that part of it. I just remember watching them. Because I liked the repartee.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they worked well together. And that separating it, I don't think it worked as well. I assume, because I don't remember.
No, I will agree with you, except, shows. You know, for her acting career, which then took off and went great, and then him not... Well, I guess he was good politically.
I think two people came to some, like, respectability as actors from the same film. Because wasn't she in Silkwood with Kurt Russell and Meryl Streep? Weren't they all together in that film?
I'm not really sure. That sounds like it makes sense. I mean, I know she really kind of came into her own with Moonstruck. That was her big breakout.
That was a big break, but I mean, that was the...
But she did side parts where it was like, no, she's good. She's doing...
And same with Kurt Russell. Like, he had come out of, like, doing Walt Disney films.
Right.
Like, you know, and so he was kind of like, you know, not thought of much as an actor. And then he did that film. And people were like, hey, woo, he's an actor. He can act.
Yeah. And when did they stop thinking that?
Do you think they stopped thinking that?
No, I'm sure it's fine. He's fine.
I think he's rather good.
He's fine.
I just watched...
He can pull off a Big Trouble in Little China.
I just watched that the other day with my youngest daughter, Phyllis, and I watched it together.
And that whole film is just him going, the hell? What's going on? What's this?
What's great?
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Not just that, but that he's a bit of a coward.
Oh, he's a big coward.
It's a good...
Yeah, he's a character that I like, which is like the egotistical coward.
Yeah.
That's always a good character for someone in an action movie, and not one that people play a lot.
And it reminded me of a line I used to say all the time when I was a teenager, which was, if I'm not back in 2 hours, call the president. I would always say that when I left home to my mom and dad, so... Because I liked the line in the movie, so I kept saying it.
And he also did, he did a bunch of Carpenter. He did Your Escape from New York.
Escape from New York.
He also did Thing. Thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all very different movies.
Escape from L.A. a little later.
You know, we can talk about sequels later. The point is, those three movies, he really pulled them off. And they were big, broad, weird situations that rested on his shoulders for the most part, those films. Like, especially Big Trouble in Little China and especially Escape from New York. Like, if you didn't buy him in Escape from New York, that movie completely goes to hell.
I think that's true. I think if you don't think he's a tough guy, and it's funny that he plays a real tough guy in Escape from New York and like a legitimate tough guy.
Yeah.
And then he's like the opposite of that in, he's more of a blowhard in Big Trouble in Little China. But he's a blowhard, but he still does it. I mean, he's still, you know, that's.
Yeah, you're a blowhard that does the stuff. I mean you've got to do it.
He's still brave. I mean, he is the, you know, he's kind of questioning like, what? I'm, okay. And he jumps down through the hole, you know, even though he's obviously not too keen on it. He still does it. So.
Well, that was always my.
Gotta give him props for that.
A nice example of that, kind of the blowhard coward, is your Army of Darkness. That's sure. A nice one there.
Yeah.
And you know, to a lesser degree, Spider-Man. I think when he's done well, like the reason like in the comics, he always tells the jokes is he's not like Superman, where it's like I'm gonna go fight Luthor, and Superman's never. Oh boy, that's a big robot. But. Spider-Man is you know, he's I don't know if I'm okay, I guess I gotta, I don't wanna, and then he'll tell some jokes and try to, you know, reduce the tension. But you know, Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, they're just this is fine, I got no care about my life, I'll probably die doing this, who cares. And that was kind of the nice thing about Spider-Man was he seems actually reacting correctly to this situation.
Yeah.
Which is, this is kind of, it's kind of terrifying that you got to fight the lizard man in the sewer. Okay.
That seems, I guess that, I'd never really thought of him as a blowhard, but I can see him as a nervous or inexperienced.
Yeah, he's less of a blowhard. I mean, I guess if you were listening to him telling his jokes, he seems like a bit of a blowhard.
Yeah.
I would say in the Amazing, we can talk about movie sequels later. We may be talking about movie sequels later. In The Amazing Spider-Man 2, he comes across as a bit of a blowhard off the top to me, where he's just a bit too jokey with everybody and a bit too, check it out. How you doing, citizens? Woo, look at me. I'm Spider-Man. Then he's a bit of a knob.
I guess. It's been a while for that film.
Have you seen... I'm not talking the first one with Sam Raimi. I'm talking the most recent one.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
That's right.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, I was taken by your reaction.
Waiting for that one to come out on home video.
Yeah, that's fine. It will.
Waiting for it to come out on VHS. I'll get the tape.
Sure.
As soon as I...
You know what? Even if it comes out on your movie channels, just record it onto a VHS tape.
Movie channel. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then watch it that way. And then write on the movie, on the VHS with marker, the name of it.
Yes.
Yeah, that would actually be really funny if you just had this whole wall of like really modern movies, but they're all on VHS. And, you know, you have next to it, it's written like SP, just to tell you what speed you recorded it on. And that's just like, this is how I like to watch movies. And I ain't changing.
You do them at SP, you do them all at LP so you can get more movies on, though.
You know what? I don't even remember what the difference is anymore.
I had a friend who used to like to borrow videotapes from me that I had taped and just put aside because there was just tons of TV shows and movies on them that he hadn't seen. So it was fun to borrow them and to sit and watch all this crap that I had taped and just, you know, hadn't bothered to erase yet.
Yeah.
Sometimes I would tape my very first date with Lisa.
You taped your date with Lisa?
I did. She wasn't very happy. I wore a GoPro cam the whole date.
Wow, you were ahead of your time.
I was ahead of my time. It was really heavy, though. It was an older one. Yeah. Oh, my God.
It was attached to a Cray computer that took up a whole room. Very hot.
It was a hot date. And she drove me home, and then her headlights stopped working partway home. It started, must have been a loose wire or something, and they started flashing.
By the way, that's how girls flirt with you.
Oh.
Yes, guys say, we ran out of gas. Yeah. Girls say, my headlights stopped working.
My headlights stopped working.
Because there's a double entendre when it comes to headlights.
I get that. Yeah. Wouldn't the horn
My headlights are flashing.
Wouldn't it have been a horn? Wouldn't that be more?
That's a bit too direct.
I guess so.
Not that kind of girl. She's the mother of your children, for God's sake. What's wrong with you?
I had taped Harold and Maude. Because I love that movie so much. I had taped it and I cut out all the commercials as I taped it.
Oh, okay.
Even though I even ate dinner and I sat so that I could see the television. And then when a commercial would start, I would leave the dinner table, run down, reverse the tape, get it all set up. And then when the movie's going to start again, start it, then run back up and eat some more dinner, keeping an eye on the television. So I had this like immaculately done Harold and Maude. And so she came over she came in the house because her car was not working so great. And so I showed it to her. I was like, you know, I really want you to see this movie. This is one of my favorite films. And that was the first film that we watched together, like,
aww,
that I like made her, you know, forced her, grabbed her shoulders and held her down in the chair
until she watched the whole film. Yeah, right.
Well, you know, it's a matter of, you know, it's kind of hard to get into if you're not ready for it.
I would agree with that. That's right. Tonally, that's a tough go. But then when you're in it, you're in it to win it.
Oh, yeah.
Then you're a Bud Cort fan for life.
Yes, you are.
Then you're like, good on Ruth Gordon. Good on her.
Yes. Yes, she's an interesting actress.
She's not just the person who messes things up in Rosemary's Baby for the nice lady. She's not just the nice Satanist. She can do more.
She can do more than that.
Yeah.
She was also in a film we were talking about a little while ago that we called The Disappointment, which was Lord Love a Duck. She plays a rather in a strange role of this woman who's, I don't know if she's having a relationship with Roddy McDowall or what in the film.
Was she still an old lady back then?
Was she still an old lady? I think she was born an old lady.
I know. There's some people like that,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah.
There's some people that are professional old people that you see for years and years and years and years, decades, and they're still the old person.
I love that Pauline Kael described her acting as kabuki theater. And I don't quite know what she meant, but it's like one of the things where you're not sure what she means, but you kind of know what she means, you know, because it's very
that
broad.
Yeah.
It's very broad and very facial, I
and
guess.
There you go. And she was like if Carol Channing had a stroke.
Why?
Well, it's just that kind of voice. It was just she just went full on.
Carol Channing.
Yeah, but then she's like, oh, wait.
Diamonds. Yeah. Diamonds are a girl's bitch.
Right. She's still got the vocal control. Now you've just got to stroke that up. And you've got Ruth Gordon. And but still, it works.
She's interesting. I think she's like
And then you go too far and you've let the stroke continue.
Yeah.
And you get the lady from Throw Mama from the Train. Then you've like, then you've let the candle melt too much.
Oh, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Very good.
I kind of remember that film, but it's Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
Billy Crystal.
Yeah. And the woman who got nominated for an Academy Award for her portrayal as Mama.
As Mama.
And, you guys are just the biggest. I hate you throwing bricks at your kid. And it's just, okay, we've gone way too far. You are, speaking of Lord Luck, Love a Duck, she is like an inch from turning into an actual duck. At that point,
and she won an Oscar.
But she didn't win an Oscar.
Oh, she got nominated.
Did she win nominated? Yeah, she got nominated, though, I believe, for an Academy Award.
That's when Marissa Tomei ran.
That's when every other actress in Hollywood just went, ah, fuck it.
What the hell, man?
But they went, oh, fuck it. But then they also went, well, I guess there might be roles for older people when I get older. That's nice. And they were wrong. The end. Unless you're Meryl Streep, in which case.
You just keep on ticking.
Or Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren, yes. Yes. Yeah. But she is a comely lady.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But I think that even she had kind of a time where she wasn't doing very much before that show Suspect, Prime Suspect.
Okay, so between Thief, Lover, Fishmonger.
Oh, I don't know that film. I'm sorry. Okay, she was working steadily.
I think she was working fine in England. I think she was working plenty good.
Maybe she was. Sorry.
Yeah, and then it all worked out.
I will close my ignorant mouth.
No, anyway, speaking of ignorant mouths, ladies and gentlemen, we have fixed our message boards. Not the people who post have ignorant mouths.
I was just wondering where you're going.
I don't know where I'm going. I don't
care. Yeah, it was weird.
Dave, I've had a rough day. I'm just going to go here. It's been fixed. Yeah,
there was
Dave
an update
has fixed it.
There was a WordPress update. Mm-hmm. Which I faithfully did.
Right. And as we always say, updates fix everything. Updates make things great. Every time you see something to be updated.
And
by the way, let me say something that I always like to mention, which is every so often I get on my phone, it goes, updates. Here's the updates for things.
Yeah.
As to this day, the most updated thing on my phone is my level. The level keeps fucking updating every 2 weeks. Do you want to update? What? You're a level.
It has to recalibrate. Otherwise, it's out of level. That's all it is. It's just a recalibration.
All right.
Because you moved.
I moved somewhat. Yeah, that's right.
On my phone, it seemed... What's irritating on my phone is that it's YouTube. If it's updated, it doesn't work. So if someone sends me a link in Facebook, let's say, and I go, oh, that looks interesting, press on that, not working. So then I have to go into my Play Store, where all the Android apps are, find YouTube, uninstall it, which doesn't completely uninstall it, just removes all the updates. Then it will work. But then the next day, it automatically updates just to help me out. So then it doesn't work. So I have to go back in. And so I'm just waiting for them to do a real update that makes it work on my phone.
Yeah.
When that happens, I'll be quite excited.
Yeah. Most of my updates are, sorry, that a lot of bugs on that last update. I'm like, well, why don't you just wait an extra week and check this out, since there's always bugs in the old update. Anyway, what we're saying is our message board is working again. Why does that matter to you, you say? Well, let me explain it. Should have explained this at the beginning of the show. We timed this badly. But if you've made it this far, you're in this quicksand with us, and let's just slowly sink together. We are coming up on our 150th episode. 4 episodes from now, we will be...
I guess a month from now.
Is that right?
4 weeks?
4 weeks, that's right. So that's 4 weeks, and four is the only number that is the square root of itself.
Is it?
No, it's not. But we're making our...
square root. Isn't square root, it's like 4 times 4 would be 16? Isn't that the square root of itself?
It would be.
Yeah.
It would be 16, 4 times 4. You're absolutely correct about that. Okay. So what
so
we
that
want
doesn't
you,
work.
So what we want you to do is to write Dave with your math problems. And he will answer all of your math problems live on the air. No, we don't want that. What we want is just your questions. We're very thankful for those of you who listen to the show. Not enough to vote for it, apparently, on local things. Anyway, that's fine. That's neither here nor there. But we would love to throw the show over to you a little bit and answer any of your questions on the air. A lot of you have been asking questions. A lot of you have been asking great questions. We've been banking questions for the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
And is there anything in this for the nice people if they send us questions?
Yeah. If what we're going to do is we're going to put all the questions into a hat, into a sneaky dragon. It's a regulation hat, mm-hmm. regulation prize hat that we have here. We'll put all the questions into that, and when the show is done, we'll draw a question, and whoever's question is drawn will win a t-shirt, and maybe some other stuff. I'm not going to say what.
And that'll be a t-shirt of your choice. You'll be able to look at the
art. Ask for what you... I mean, if
go
it can
to
be
our
done.
Store, you can see the ones we've got.
If it can be done.
Or ask for one separate, and you know, that has been done before. Dave has taken requests.
I have.
By the way, the store is back up and running. If you just want to buy a shirt as well, you can do that.
Another updated thing that went kablooey, so I had to remove the update.
Now, we've been asking you to buy shirts because Dave, you know, has been the family out of work because of a teacher strike the last little while.
Yep.
And as of today, the latest results on that are they say that they will be back to work if Scotland becomes independent.
I believe
that's the way it's going
to
be.
No, they're going to go
if
to
Scotland
work,
achieves
if Scotland
independence.
Stays in England, stays in Great Britain. I should
all right,
say.
I'm mixing up two stories. We're recording this on the night where Scotland decides whether to be independent or not. But
please
stay
together.
But what is going on with the teacher strike, Dave? Over to teacher strike update with Dave.
Well, they reached a settlement of sorts. There is an agreement in place, and so today teachers were voting. They were ratifying or not ratifying the contract that the government has offered teachers. So. You know, it's the usual thing is that you miss 6 weeks of work, 6 weeks of pay, and then you get a dick up the ass. I think that's the legal term.
Is this in the good sense? Because some people that would be fine.
True. That's true.
Depending on how and where to your tastes and wherefores.
How about
are you saying prison style?
That's right, prison style.
Prison style, dick up the
ass. Yeah, it's I guess I shouldn't have said that.
No.
An unwanted.
There you go.
I want to dick up the ass.
And I like your stick up the ass as well, but that makes you a stick up the ass.
Yeah, this makes you
guy, and then you're just uptight.
That's right.
And you're not, man.
Not uptight. So,
you're loosey-goosey.
It's very much so, because of the drinking. And so it's not the greatest contract, and I guess because the problem is that, you know, the union and the government have to manage expectations. You know, you create this, you know, black white situation when you're negotiating, and now you've got to try and sell the gray to your membership or to your voters.
Yep.
And so I don't think either side really came out too far ahead. Where the teachers won is because what the issue was on class size and composition. This was a long time problem for you know, the government stripped the teachers of that from their contract 12 years ago. And so they're still arguing about it. It's been in court. The teachers have won twice. It's being appealed a third time by the government. So that's still up in the air. And so what's good about this contract is that's still up in the air in terms of the contract.
Okay.
So the language in the contract doesn't nullify whatever ruling, which is what the government wanted to do, is sort of nullify whatever the ruling was to try to cut out the possibility of grievances that teachers would be filing because of this stripped contract or stripped language from the contract.
Right.
Sorry, buddy. That's kind of boring. But anyway,
No. We've been talking about this. And so if people find things boring, there's always the skip ahead button.
That's true. So what's kind of interesting to me, actually, out of it is Lisa, my wife, who's been very – usually she's very kind of dragging her heels when it comes to strikes and stuff like that. She's not all that keen to go on the line and stuff like that. But this time she's been very pro-strike, very much – you know, very into the strike, very much against the government and very, you know, partisan standing in unison or standing together with the teachers, obviously, because she's a teacher. And, but what's interesting is now that it's over, is she's just depressed. Like, is this kind of, you know, postpartum depression, post-strike-em depressionist has hit her, you know, and she's just really like, ugh. So it's, you know, she's not feeling so great right now. So it's going to take her a little while.
I think that happens with people who strike. Like, afterwards, it's kind of ugly because you're also now back to working for the people that you had to go strike against. So that's a weird relationship.
That sucks.
Yeah. Also, you know, as you didn't have time to be as bummed out because you were doing a thing.
Yeah.
And now you're back to. Well, now it all hits you.
You're going back to work. That sucks. I mean, normally she's bummed out at the end of summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to go back to work and. Enough of this 2 months of laying around. Well, she doesn't. Not she lays around. She actually works really hard all the time. But anyway, enough of this doing other things. Now you have to go back and do your job.
Right.
And so now that's what she's sort of feeling. And also the fact that, you've got this huge, you know, this expectations, this sort of adrenaline rush of excitement of the strike and, you know, and all the support that they got. There was tons of support. This
people honking as you go by.
Yeah, honking. Lots of honking and lots of people supporting, calling out.
Whereas normally for teachers, maybe not as much support, you know, in regular life. And by the way, maybe there should be. Yes. Let's throw that out there.
That's
now.
Right. And so, I just think she's just feeling a little low. So
It feels like, you know, you still have to do your job.
Mm-hmm.
But pardon me, you spent all this time like having to climb up this building to get into the window but then you're just back in your office again.
It's pretty much how I feel every time we start doing the show. No, I'm just joking.
Now I think, was it you that put a thing up on Facebook, which was some sort of memo, and the memo said nothing's going to be happening until the 23rd of September. Was that you? Because someone put that up there, and it was a memo, and it said, like, you know, we overheard a guy talking from the government, and he said, like, look.
Oh, Lisa put that up.
Yeah, nothing's happened until the 23rd. And I was like, let's watch the 23rd. And now it's like, when are people going back to school? The 23rd.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's what, because it's all been planned. It's all been planned by the government. And I mean, what?
It's just nice calling that 3 weeks in advance.
Where it didn't work for the government was, this is what they really wanted to do was get the what they were doing and what's been said in a court by one of the negotiators for the teachers in 2011 said in court that the government was trying to provoke the teachers into striking.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 years later, the teachers were provoked to strike. So the government was locking them out of the classroom, locking them out of the school at lunchtime, lock them out for the last 3 days of school. And so the teachers went on strike. So they kind of preempted this lockout by going on strike. So that's what the government wanted. But now the government got what it wanted. So their plan was to have this kind of mass, you know, everyone in BC would be against the teachers, would be mad at the teachers because they're not looking after the kids and, you know, they're against the children and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, all that kind of rhetoric comes out. And so then in September, then they had this kind of buy-off plan. So they're going to pay the parents $40 a day for a daycare because the teachers are out on strike, so blah, blah, blah. So now that plan, that cost $150 million to do that. That's so much they owe the people who have registered to put their kids into this program. So that money has to come from somewhere.
By the way, all those people that got that $40, they all didn't go, woohoo, $40. Yeah, they were like, yeah, fuck, $40.
Yeah.
So it's spending $150 million to make people go, yeah, thanks a lot.
Exactly.
Thanks.
So that was a bit of a backfire.
Where if you gave it to just one person, gave one guy $150 million, you'd at least have one really happy guy.
Because there were rumors, and the same kind of rumors that were about the September 23rd date, was that the government was planning to roll out voucher plans for schools here in British Columbia. So it was just to further, in 2002, when the government took $300 million out of the school system, when they stripped the language from the contract, they cut $300 million out of the school. They started funding the schools differently so that there wasn't as much funding available to schools. So the schools had to start short funding things. And then they took away the catchments, which isn't terrible. My daughters go to school outside of their catchment, but they took away the catchments.
What is catchment? Sorry.
Catchments, like when we went to school, we had a particular area. The population of the area goes to a particular school.
Okay.
And they set the boundaries. And if your friend is on the other side of the street and he's on that boundary, he goes to that school down the road. And if you are on the other side of the street and you end up having to walk an extra five blocks to go to your school, that's just how it goes. You can't change.
Right.
They took away that. So if you want, you can go and apply at different schools and stuff like that. So that kind of created this idea of, you know, better schools and worse schools. So you want to go to a school in West Van and not a school in North Van. You know, because West Van is where the wealthy people live. They're going to have better schools there.
Well, wealthy people are better. There are betters.
Well, they have better drugs, so that's for sure. So then you go to that high school, and you get a better education.
Okay.
So that goes outside of your catchment, so you can go and apply to that school. So with the voucher plan, it kind of further pushes that along. And so then you have a set amount of money, in quotation marks, that you can spend on your child's education mm-hmm. with this voucher. And so then the schools, it's their job to capture your interest. So rather than having a guaranteed group of people that are attending a school in a neighborhood, you break it all up into this weird place where parents are driving their kids, you know, miles and miles to go to different places, which is good in some ways, fine arts schools, for instance, or, you know, sports that have, say, hockey schools integrated into the school programs. That's good to a degree, but the problem with it is kind of the problem that we have with, that I have with, like, home churches, which is that you have a situation where there's no longer community. It's just like-minded people glomming together, and they all agree with each other. They're never challenged.
That's not great.
They're never, you know what I mean? And so I feel that way, like, you know, that's my argument against, say, like I say, home churches, is this the idea of people, when they disagree with each other, just being able to leave and just go and do and start their own thing together so they all agree with each other, you know, instead of working it out as a community or agreeing to disagree, you know, like right now at our church, we're going through a same-sex blessing discussion right now because we want to bring in same-sex blessings into the church. Mm-hmm. And so right now we're having kind of public meetings, you know, after the service on Sunday, so people can sit and talk and come to an agreement or not agreement, you know. And it's possible that some people are going to leave the church because they disagree. But I hope not. I hope that even if they disagree with this decision, that they can live with it. You know, they don't have to support it. They don't have to be there for the same-sex blessings, but they can allow that as part of the church family that, you know. So we'll see. Most people seem to be, it's really weird, like when you're discussing same-sex blessings and there's a, well, there's an 86-year-old man beside you, mm-hmm. and he's more vocal than you are in favor of it. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're just like, what?
Because he's lived life.
He's lived life, but it's great.
And you know, he knows this, like, is bullshit.
Yeah, but you just feel like, I don't have to fight this person. This is awesome, because that's the person you expect you'd have to fight.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the young person, obviously, they're going to be for it. The older generation,
not necessarily.
It's weird, but
no,
yeah,
you see a lot of, like, young, like, early 20s, you know, because that's the age when you're like, you know it. No, I don't want to say you know everything. I don't want to be that stereotype.
Sure. Yeah.
But you're very firm on your beliefs.
Yeah.
You're very, this is what I think, and I'm fighting for, you know. And if you lock into, if your rebellion, which mm-hmm. is what you're into, if your rebellion is then against your hippie parents or something, you might go right wing. There's a lot, you see a lot of people like at the right wing things, that there's the young people, mostly dudes, you know, and with the same haircut, but they believe that thing. And
Yeah.
They'll tell you a thing or two.
I guess that's true. I don't think you'd find many of those people at an Anglican church, though.
There's a weird one. This kid, and I say kid. He's early 20s. I'm trying to think what his name is. But he does these YouTube videos. And the most famous one that he's done is singing all these Disney princess songs. But it's like, where are they now? So it's like, you know, Ariel is, you know, she's sad because, like, Japanese people are eating all the dolphin meat. And Jasmine is in Guantanamo Bay. You know, this, that, and the other. And, and he sings them all, and he does them in four-part harmony, and the screen is split in four parts. Okay. He's got a beautiful singing voice, and he's just amazing. And then you find it afterwards, he's a real right-winger, and he loves Sarah Palin, and you're just like, how can... You know, but, you know, it's like, you clearly, on the rainbow scale, this is not where you should be.
Yeah.
I don't think... You might be a nice heterosexual gentleman, but I'm betting you're not. And what are you doing? And it's like, the only thing I can think of is just like, I guess maybe if you're so into this, maybe, and you're thinking like, who's a good kind of drag queen character? Like, she's very close to being a great drag queen character. Maybe that. Maybe
are you saying that
her.
Singing four-part harmony is a sign of homosexuality?
When, it's, well, okay, four guys. Listen, four guys in matching clothes, mm-hmm. if they're striped pants and they're straw hats.
Okay.
You know, it's not the worst.
My dad does that, right? What mm-hmm. are you trying to tell me?
What has he been trying to tell you? What has he been trying to tell you?
What's he been hiding in the closet?
You know what happens down by the old mill stream?
I thought it was just
by
families.
The old mill stream.
I thought it was just family slides in the closet.
Where I first met Stu.
That's what. Is that right?
Yeah, they changed it later to you.
It was Adam and you, not Adam and Stu.
That's right. Yeah. That's what they did. Listen to any songs.
Any songs at all.
From my grandfather's clock to whatever
my
song.
My grandfather's clock.
Yeah, yes, they've changed right. a lot of
I changed a lot of words.
A lot of words a little bit. Just that's look right. at all the Barbershop that's Quartet.
Right. That's right. I hear what you're saying.
Okay.
My sweet Plinus.
Yeah. Do you notice most of these Barbershop Quartets, none of them can cut hair? That's interesting. So you're just fellas that like to hang out together. Fair enough. Anyway, it just was kind of a shame, this guy. But then he's like early 20s. Who knows? Life goes on and you'll see what you're going to be. But sure. just like anyone who's like, I admire Sarah Palin. Really, as a young man, I guess that's the rebellion thing to do because people are so against her that
there's a comfort in that point. Kind of certainty. You know, those people are yeah. very certain of what they believe.
Yeah.
If you go to the other lefty side of the spectrum, mm-hmm. no one's very certain. Everyone's very much
yeah.
between two stools.
There's
and
a thing.
Kinda...
There's a thing right now online as of today, and there's a because Rob Ford has said he's not going to run for mayor, and his brother Doug Ford is going to run for mayor.
Okay.
And there's a Twitter thing on there right now with some racist things that Doug Ford has said. And there's a bunch of people going, look at this. And I'm reading this and going like, clearly this is not him. This has been hacked. Okay. This is this.
Yeah.
Clearly. But yeah, when you're so set in your beliefs, you're like, of course, this person is all evil and crazy and must be everything that I hate. And when I see that, of course, that would be. No, you step back a second and see, of course they wouldn't. They're running for mayor. They're not going to use that racial slur. It was like, you know, when Christy Clark, you know, who was the person who's our premier here, you know, she was kind of the bad guy in this whole teacher's strike thing, if you take it that way,
yes.
to some people. And so yes. people were posting a thing from her Twitter just going, you know, I'm packing my kids' lunches for school, you know, and the hashtag consider private schools. Mm-hmm. And people went, can you believe this? No, and you shouldn't either, you smart person, in normal circumstances, but you're being so locked in your ways lets yeah. you accept all this other information. And that's how Fox News works. If you believe a certain mindset, then you hear this bullshit, you're just going to go, yep, makes sense. No! You know, and this is like people who are left-wing. So it happens on both sides.
Oh, yeah. I agree
you know,
with you.
We sucker in. As long as it's something we sort of agree with, we'll go for the whole ride. But like, step back and read that again. People wouldn't do that. Smarten up. Not helping nobody.
We started an interesting place, but we certainly ended at another place. What the long and the short of it is, we lost...
Barbershop quartets are gay.
We lost the poll. That's what it was. We lost the Georgia Street Readers
that's
poll.
That's right.
That's
very good.
That's the long and the
short. I'm sorry.
The
if you're in a straight barbershop quartet...
If you are in...
You're lying to yourself.
The Georgia Street Barbershop... We're the best Georgia Street Barbershop quartet?
Something.
There's a ranking in there.
Yeah. Let me just say, trios, straight as an arrow.
Straight as an arrow?
Yeah. Straight as an arrow. Once you get a fourth dude in there,
okay.
everything just goes... Yeah. Rainbow Connection. The Rainbow Lovers, Connection. The Dreamers, and Me.
Oh, I was going to say something about...
Duets can go either way.
The same-sex blessing,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting because we're not allowed to marry church. We're not allowed to marry gay people. We're only allowed to bless their union.
Right, which is fine because like you can get married in Canada.
You can get married. So
you're getting married.
Yeah. They can walk outside of the church into the narthex, into the... foyer, if you prefer. I like narthex. It's a cooler word.
Mm.
Go into the narthex.
That's something they have at Charles Xavier's Academy.
I think you're thinking Anthrax. They go into the narthex.
Why is the band Anthrax at Charles Xavier's Academy?
I have no idea, but they often play there.
Okay.
Same with Gwar. So then, who apparently have a new lead singer. Vulvatron. Female, the new lady singer. It's true. Anyway, so then...
You've come a long way, baby.
You don't look at our Twitter account, because one of our... Mr. M. Beck sent us a tweet with a picture of this lady.
Let me just say, if someone sends me a tweet and it is hashtagged Vulvatron, no.
You just keep on going?
Yeah, I keep on rolling along. And then if later on someone goes, did you see that Vulvatron thing? What was that? I was thinking about the teacher strike. Then I might go back and check it out. But for the most part, while I'm scrolling, Vulvatron, keep on driving.
There you go. So now I've totally lost track of what I was talking about.
You were talking about gore. You were talking about same-sex blessings. Saying you can walk outside.
Yeah, you can walk into the narthex, sign the formal papers that you know, to the government approved papers, you know, and have your but be blessed, you know, because the real thing the church is doing, the whole like official part of a marriage, isn't really what the important part of a church service is. The important part of the church service is God's blessing on your marriage. You know, through the priest acting as this sort of whatever, stand-in for God approving your marriage.
Right.
The rest of it is all government. Who cares about you're signing a bunch of papers and whatever, right? So that can all be done anywhere, anytime. It's just some paperwork that you fill out. The important part of it is, yeah, that whole standing in front of a community, the community and God, blessing your marriage, supporting your marriage, blah, 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 right? So that's the... I would love if we could do that, so...
I think you probably will end up in doing it. I just like got tongue-tied there.
We've been pushing it for quite a while now.
I drank a little too much caffeine, I think.
It's taken us 2 years to get to this. I hope that is the case, yeah. It's taken us 2 years to get to this point. It's a slow thing doing stuff in big organizations, you know?
That's not the worst thing in the world sometimes. Like, I mean, again, and this is obviously something I'm for. I'm more okay with it because I know legally everyone's got the same rights now, so... Yeah. It's fine. Everyone's covered.
Everyone can do it.
Right now, it's kind of a symbolic gesture.
But you wish that the church, if you go to a church, I mean, we have gay people who go to our church, and it'd be nice if those people could have their marriage recognized and blessed in our church.
I would agree. You
know, as they're already there, so why not make them feel actually welcome?
Here's a side thing on the topic of marriage. One of my siblings is getting married. It's the one who's not currently married. I'm not going to say their name because, you know, whatever. And it was really sweet. She told us last week.
Is this your sister, Phyllis?
No.
Okay.
I'm not doing make 'em up names because I'm going to forget it and I'm going to screw it up. I'm going to pull a Dave. I'm going to say their name out loud. And that's going to be weird. So anyway, she says to Pia, because Pia has in the past performed marriage ceremonies in America.
Yes.
Because she... did one of those back of the Rolling Stone type things. You know, you're a minister in the church of the, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
And there you go. So she's like, can you do services in Canada? And she's like, no, but I'm going to try to apply for that. It's a whole rigmarole. But the easiest way to do it, and it's like, this shouldn't be the easiest way to do it, is you have to apply to be in this one church, and it's like some metaphysical church. But basically, you have to take a couple of workshops and dream interpretation and all this other stuff. And basically, you know, it's like, you have to say, I believe fairy tales are true. Mm-hmm. Now I can marry a person. It just seems wrong. Like, if you really look at all the classes you've got to take, it's just like, well, this is...
Wouldn't it be easier just to become a marriage commissioner?
They only allow a certain amount of those in the course of a year.
Oh, okay.
So there's a huge waiting list for that. Basically, years of waiting list for that. Because you can only have a certain amount.
Because that's just, like, that's how Lisa and I were married by a marriage commissioner. We weren't married in a church.
Marriage Commissioner Gordon.
We were married in a backyard. Mm-hmm. That's sorry. In a barnyard, actually. As you know, you were there.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Yeah.
And then anytime something happens and you walk and you leave the door open, you go, hey, what, were you married in a barn? Exactly. And you all have a good laugh
at that. Have a good laugh, yes.
Yeah.
Except for my wife who cries.
Is that right?
No, I'm just joking.
Of course.
She's okay with it.
No, once a person's married, they never cry again.
We're both married.
Everyone's happy forever, remember? Happy forever. We're all happy forever. Happy forever.
How's your marriage doing? It's the happiest place on earth.
Couldn't be better.
Couldn't be better.
Shucks. Anyway, that's Mickey Mouse in front of in your marriage. That's how you know it's the happiest place. Once Mickey Mouse shows up and endorses it with the big minstrel glove thumbs up, then you know, boom. Now, Dave, before we got started here, you proposed a topic for the show.
I did.
Normally, you do this, and then we forget the topic, then you remember it as you're driving off, yell "fuck" very loudly as you're driving by the little girls' ballet academy.
That's what I like to do.
The girls are so shocked. The little girls, they drop their cigarettes.
They drop their cigarettes. Right. The French dancing academy.
Mais oui.
Plié.
Yeah. Well, if you can think of a better way of keeping a 6-year-old girl slim. Than, you know, Virginia Slims. I'm sure they'd love to hear it.
Yes. I thought, well, what I was thinking of was, because I was driving up to my brother-in-law's and sister-in-law's cabin last week with my nephew and my daughter's boyfriend. And we were talking about The Matrix.
Okay.
And I just said, you know, there's a film that never should have gone any farther than that film.
Okay.
Because it's such a perfect movie in that it basically lets
your imagination launch off.
Yes, it leaves you where the movie starts in a way. You know what I mean?
There you go.
Yeah, and then the next
perfect.
Film.
Perfect.
The next film can only be a letdown because it can never match your imagination. And really, what's cool about The Matrix is The Matrix. The cool thing is what they can do inside this computer program, which apparently is terrible, and yet lots of fun. Right?
Yeah.
It's a terrible thing,
yeah,
but it's actually kind of great.
Yeah, but you're a battery.
And then... And to be honest with you, I really don't remember the last Matrix film that much.
Yeah,
it was basically like watching my own headache. And I don't remember it very much, but what I remember was that it doesn't take place very much in the Matrix. And you're like, well, this is really disappointing because it's just a bunch of people slogging around in the mud.
Right.
Yuck.
So your general theme, before we get into specifically about the Matrix, for this topic would be, what is your thesis, sir?
I was thinking about sequels that destroy the original movie.
All right. Or not destroy, but ruin.
Let's kind of ruin it. Yeah,
you know, maybe I'm using a thesaurus here and destroy. And
they sour the film. So like,
The Matrix itself.
Where,
Dave, let's both go into the Matrix. Here's your pill. Wait, no, that takes you out of the Matrix. Don't take the pill.
You know, it ends with, you know, him like flexing his, and the whole room warps, and then he takes off into space, and you're like, that's how a superhero is made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a superhero. This is fantastic. And then just stop it there. Like, of course it's tempting to go on, you know.
Weird question about the Matrix. Okay, you know the famous scene where they're getting the pills?
Yes.
And it's like, take the red pill, take the blue pill. And he takes the pill that makes him get out of the Matrix and go into the real world and all that.
Yeah.
So you're Lawrence Fishburne. You're sitting across from Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
He takes the pill.
Yeah.
What happens in that room if you're Lawrence Fishburne? Does he then vanish? Does he just like slump over like he's in a coma? Do they then have to care?
Yeah, no, he vanishes because he's removed from the Matrix. He's unplugged from it.
So he just vanishes in his chair, just poof.
Yeah.
This is a pill.
Blinks out.
That makes you go poof.
Just blinks out of
existence. Let me ask you a question then, Dave.
Yeah.
You know how there's that big problem that they always seem to fucking have where they're running from the bad guys like, I got to find a phone. It's the only way to get out of the Matrix. Why don't you have a pocket full of them pills?
No.
Poppity poppity.
It doesn't work then.
Now you're out.
Because the pill causes the system to reject you.
Oh.
It causes the system to reject you. So you are unplugged and then you are flushed.
Okay. And right? Then you're flushed down the
then
thing.
They have to find you. When you were in the Matrix, after that, you were in that little submarine.
Okay,
kind of
so
thing.
He just vanished.
A rock spaceship. I don't even know what it is. Are they in water? I never could quite figure out. Are they in water floating around? I can't remember now.
What do you mean? Like in the the Matrix goo? I think it's goo.
And then it drops into water? No, but I mean, when they're inside that submarine thing, is it a submarine? Are they underwater? Are they floating around?
They're like going through the Earth like later on.
I don't know what's going on. But anyway... It's fine. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
It doesn't matter.
It's all up to the architect.
Yeah. The second movie, here's what the second movie has going for it. Second movie does not have ideas going for it.
No
ideas. Okay. But like you can just enjoy the second movie. So the third movie is shit.
I don't think you can enjoy the second
movie.
Yes, you can.
You can. Here's how you enjoy the second movie.
Okay.
You just enjoy the second movie as just spectacle. The highway scene is great. The highway scene is fantastic.
Yeah.
There's some fight scenes in there where he, unfortunately, sometimes it changes where he's turning into plastic and you just see him like it's this crappy CGI. It's like, you can't do this yet. But if you just take it as spectacle, great.
Sure.
Because it's got no ideas. And you're just like, and where it's best
But it does have that 50 minute long architect scene, right?
Well,
and it has the 8-hour dance sequence at the beginning of the film.
That's
terrible.
That's fucking shit. Absolutely. But where it's best is, as you say, it's the scene on the highway.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Because everyone shuts up.
Yeah.
And you're just watching the thing and no one's giving you any ideas.
Yeah.
We're just watching this stuff.
Because it's telling you there is that the Matrix is really cool.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Like, the Matrix is fun.
Super fun. Let's watch this.
Keep the Matrix going.
Yeah.
And just anyone who wants to leave it can just drop in and out all they want.
I got no problem with the two albino guys who can like go into cars and then chase after you and then jump out of cars and they got swords.
Yeah, it's
there,
fun.
I'm all for
it. It's fun.
100%. Yeah.
You're actually making me want to watch that scene again.
That's fine. Yeah. No, the Matrix, the second Matrix movie, Reloaded, is that what it is?
Yeah, Reloaded.
Yeah, that one's fine to watch if you have a fast forward button. Yeah. Then you're gold.
See, that's not a recommendation to me there.
Well, the thing is,
I agree with you that there's things in the film that are good, but overall, it's boring and dumb.
Yeah, that's right. But there are some movies that, you know, are only good because they got the one good car chase scene, and you'll tell people, go watch the car chase scene.
Well, that's true.
And that's the same thing with this
Matrix.
You
probably aren't going to watch it again unless you just watch the car chase on YouTube.
Now, I will tell you something that is kind of fun to do.
Okay.
There's a video game that ties into the first, takes place sort of between the first and the second movie, and then ties into scenes in the movie. And they do that quite well because they shot scenes for the video game that then tie in directly.
Okay.
So you're like, hey, where'd that girl come from? Like on the in the scene where you're on the road. Well, you were playing as her, had to fight all the way to this. Then she drops down onto the car. Hey, that was me. Now I'm there. All right. Good job. Whee. I feel like I'm part of the movie.
Huh.
Good times.
Okay.
Yeah, that was fine. Then third movie comes out. And he's talking to a giant baby head. And it's like, for fuck's sake.
I don't remember that.
Oh, a giant Gerber baby head made of machines. And she, you know what? Listen, folks, we're going to spoil a lot of movies here.
Yeah, yeah.
All these movies
spoil
are
spoil away.
So, you know, you have a scene, I think in the second movie, where, you know, the love interest, and I forget her name, and I'm sorry about that. She
Trinity.
There you go. She dies. He reaches into her, blah, 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 fixes her. Everything's fine. And then it's the same thing in the third movie. Don't do that. Mm. Now you're blowing up the Death Star for the second time, dude. Don't do that.
Didn't they?
And he's like blind, and who gives a shit? And now the Matrix isn't fun. The Matrix is dark and shit, and it ends with them fucking up the Matrix, so it's not fun anymore.
That's what I mean. And the Matrix is fun.
Yeah, you were flying around like Superman. Now that's the world we want to be in. Now exactly. You've made a shitty world exactly. Like the way the world was.
Exactly.
Boo. Stop, my imagination.
Stop at the first film.
Yeah, stop trying to fill in all the gaps my imagination has already filled in. Let me have some fun. And it feels like, here's what it feels like. It feels like your dad bought you some great action figures and you're on the carpet and you're playing with the action figures and you're having a good time. And dad goes, no. That's not what Superman does. Give me that. Give me a Superman. Superman says, I'm going to rescue the thing. Like, okay, now I'm playing as Batman. Let's play together, Dad. No. Dad grabs Batman, and Dad's now acting out all the things for you, and you're just sitting on the couch watching Dad play with the toys. You're like, I kind of like these toys, but I'd like to play with them myself.
Yeah.
Thanks for buying me the toys, Dad.
Another film that I think ruins, and I know this is a favorite one for you, is Terminator 3. Of course, because...
That was the dumbest laugh I've ever laughed on this show.
Because I did a dumb laugh earlier.
That was a full-on Mortimer snurd.
I did a dumb laugh earlier, so it's okay. Because, you know, you have, like, the perfect film, Terminator 2. Absolutely, like, great movie.
And the moral
except for the music. The music is terrible.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Have you ever watched it recently?
No.
You're like, ooh, what's all the synth music going on? Ooh, okay. Stop being synthy. It's being all synthy.
Oh, yeah. He's chasing the guy and Rocket is playing. Herbie Hancock.
He's kind of like, no. But it's just like these synth washes and stuff. Ugh. But it's a great film, nonetheless.
Absolutely.
It ends with a great moral, and you know, they solve all this stuff. And then the third film, apparently that doesn't matter what you do, ever, it'll all get rewritten and wiped out.
It's like you didn't see the second movie, which is the whole thing of like, even a robot can change its mind and feel love and do all this kind of stuff. Yeah. And that means there's hope for us all. Hard cut to the third film. There's no hope. Kaboom! Those children we watched dissolve in the second movie and went, and you saved? Nope. Kaboom! Those kids went up again. Enjoy. Yeah. Which leads you to a fourth film where everyone's walking around in a desert and it's just like, Now we're Mad Maxing it. And by the way, there's a giant Terminator in this one. Mm. Who gives three shits? Like, I've seen a Transformers movie, man. You're not going to get me with a big robot.
Once again, Terminator 3 has some great set pieces. It has that fantastic chase with the fire engine, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's a nice scene with the coffin and it opens it up and the gun and you're doing the thing. It's fine.
But once again, who cares? If the idea is wrong, then you know it's boring or it's dumb. You just feel like the sort of tedium of I've wasted my time.
Yeah, you go from, and we've talked about this one before. The same thing with Aliens to Alien 3.
Yeah.
You go from hope for the future and a child shall lead them, and we've learned from the child, and we're all better for the nope. Sorry, hope to no hope in the third one. It's like, how is that better? How is that better? Not at all. You know, it's just terrible. Those are the most egregious. Terminator 3, Alien 3. There's other ones that are bad as well.
Okay,
but those are the most egregious.
Okay, do you have some then?
Oh, do I? Do I, Dave? Do I? Yes, I do. You know, you can go your obvious ones where you just do a full ball drop,
like Phantom Menace. Let's say.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a prequel,
but it's still a continuation of the series. Like, it's still a film that came. I mean. Seriously, unless you can time travel, Phantom Menace came out many, many years after Return of the Jedi, which was no great film either. But it did not destroy what came before it.
But did it to, say, your daughter's generation? Like, did they see the films in the correct order?
I don't care about them. I'm just talking in real terms of...
I'm talking in real terms of now.
Because Phantom Menace, like what you have with the first three Star Wars films, is this wonderfully democratic, open idea of this universe,
right?
Of this adventure, right? That anyone can join. And when you get to Phantom Menace, it turns out that you can't. You have to have a certain amount of...
You have to be born into it.
You have to have these, midichlorians or whatever that are inside you. And that makes you... You know, so it's this sort of elite squad of Jedi. It's not just something that anyone can do, given some practice and a little bit of skill.
Okay, counting the Empire. Okay, counting those films as sequels.
So to me, that's a negation of the preceding films.
It makes everyone a dick, too. Yeah. It makes Obi-Wan Kenobi a dick. Yes. For like in the middle of this war where they need him just like going off to jerk off in a cave for I don't know how many years and age terribly.
Yes, in 20 years.
Terribly. 20 years. You know, the only thing that you admire him about is like everyone's on the hunt for Obi-Wan Kenobi and no one thinks old Ben Kenobi could possibly. Yeah, the thing though, to be fair, to the stormtroopers, if they're looking for Obi-Wan Kenobi and they're like, what's he look like? He's an incredibly handsome man.
Yes.
Nice chestnut hair, beautiful brown beard,
yeah.
Smooth skin, great ass,
yes.
Tight. Like the guy, he like works out all the time, couldn't look better. Hello. Okay, clearly that's not him. No. And you're saying this is just 20 years later. Maybe that could not be him.
You know, it hasn't been suggested before, I don't think, but that was a disguise that he was wearing. A prosthetic facial, like a mask that he was wearing
That's really a shame that when he became a ghost, he forgot to take it off, his ghost face.
Well, it's just like with, you know, when people say like, if you get hit with your face in a funny contorted way, it will stay that way. When you die, you will look the way that you looked when you die.
And then you've got your Darth Vader, whose motivations are now completely screwball.
It's
completely screwball. Yeah,
it's very,
like his redemption doesn't work because, you know, when you're like, admittedly, you're blowing up Alderaan, you're doing all this kind of business.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of the that kind of goes, okay, Darth Vader didn't blow up Alderaan. He's the second guy. Like, the other guy's given the orders for that.
Mm-hmm.
He's, like, along for the ride. He's choking guys. I'll give you that. He's choking them out. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't go into the schoolhouse with his lightsaber and kill all the children.
Yes.
Back when he was not even the super bad guy. Just, they gotta do.
Just on the way to bad guy.
Just on the way to bad guy. On the road to bad guy. I'm just gonna lightsaber all these kids.
Yeah.
You know? And no dice. That doesn't fly. You don't get redeemed. Mm-hmm. You turn into a ghost and all these little children drag you to hell. That's what happens, you know, when you're Darth Vader. You can't just throw your old boss into a shaft and now go to Jedi heaven.
Yeah.
Boo on that.
I know that in terms of, like in actual terms, they're prequels. But in reality, they're sequels. They're films that followed the original films and, in a sense, took a big dump on them.
And as you're right. It was anyone can do this. Even a farm boy can make a difference and change the universe.
Exactly.
And then you're right. It goes to, it was your destiny. Nothing you could do about it.
Mm-hmm.
All the guys that were your mentors were fuckheads who, like, took off Yoda. You know, the first fight he loses, he goes, I'm out of here. And, like, he takes off to find himself on a swamp planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you better give me a lot of novels telling me about good things Yoda did in between there, because otherwise that guy's a real jerk. And you've got your Liam Neeson guy, who seems like a bit of a racist, frankly. You know, the way he's treating, Jar Jar.
Yeah.
He's grabbing his tongue when he's like reaching for something. Just like, you don't grab a dude's tongue. Like, what's wrong with you? You Jedis. When you see the Jedi Council, you go like, these guys are all dicks. They're all elitist dicks. There's a kid who's like, you know, there and is like, this kid's in a lot of trouble. And all of them are like, fuck them. And then the one guy's like, maybe. And like, all right, we'll do it. But I don't want to. It's like, well, you're all just jackasses. You're all horrible.
And the worst thing about all those films is that they're absolutely no fun at all.
Right. You've taken all the fun away.
Yeah.
Every world is a nightmare. Mm-hmm. Everyone is terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I posted something recently that kind of came to my mind, which was, I think the most evil person in the whole Star Wars universe is whoever programmed droids to feel pain.
That's a weird one.
That's really weird. That you have a scene, the first thing where the droids are being tortured. Like, tortured.
But let me just
irons on the feet.
Weird, but not weird.
Okay, tell me.
Because almost like us, it's a survival system, right? That they need to feel pain in order not to damage themselves. So otherwise, a droid could easily, like, take off its leg.
Okay. But
you know, if you want efficient systems that work and don't need to be constantly maintained because they're damaging themselves,
right?
You program in pain.
Okay.
The idea of applying pain to droids is evil, though.
Right. Them torturing the droids is really evil. And by the way, people who torture the droids, they still get paid. That's fine. Selling those droids as slaves, even though they feel pain and fear their own mortality, that's fine. We got no problem with the Jawas.
No.
They're cool. That's fine. That's the system, and that's how it is. What are you going to do? Okay, but once you've now established in your Star Wars that the droids feel pain and they fear for their own death, you can kind of go like, oh, well, you know what? Maybe this came later. Maybe earlier droids did not have this sentience. So when you have all these droids fighting and getting blown up and you're not supposed to care because they're robots.
Yeah.
But when you have scenes where like the really primitive droids are going at each other like, how's your day? I don't know. I'm kind of scared. Whoops. Well, this is no good. It's like, oh shit, you're sentient too.
Yeah.
Well, this is still horrible. The amount of killing that you're doing of these things that can think and feel.
As we said, it's no fun.
Absolutely,
it's
no
just
fun.
No fun. It's just carnage and horrible.
And it just goes to
all, all three of those films can.
How about this film, Dave? Balls. Let me throw this one out at you.
Okay.
Back to the Future.
Okay. Here's I have not seen the sequels to those.
All right. Do you mind if I tell you anything?
No, go ahead. I know one goes into the future, like the near distant future. The other one goes into the west, west or something.
There's a lot of people who enjoy Back to the Future too. There's a lot of love for Back to the Future. Maybe there's even some love for Back to the Future 3. But let me tell you the two big problems with both of these. Again,
Christopher Lloyd.
No, Christopher Lloyd. Oh, that guy sells it hard. Okay.
I'm just having fun.
Any movie that like ends with a really good idea and you're like, that's a great, oh man, my imagination. And then the next film goes no to that. Back to the
How
Future.
How does Back to the Future end?
Let me tell you exactly the line that ends Back to the Future.
All right. Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox, you know, is getting in there.
Or Marty McFly, I guess we should say.
That's right. The last line is, where we're going, we won't need roads.
Oh.
Cut to the future. Tons of roads. Everyone's on the road. Cars are driving on the roads. Everything's roads. Yeah. Big scenes taking place on roads. Okay, so yeah, you won't need roads, but we still have them.
He meant the city in Greece.
Yeah. So you know, as interesting as what they set up, as interesting what they did in the second movie, it wasn't as exciting as the future that they set up in the first one. We're like, we don't need roads.
Yeah.
But you'd have roads. And then
were there sequels planned when they made that film, or was that
I don't think so.
Okay.
And the nice thing about the second and third film is they plan them so close together. There's a lot of tie-ins to each other, but so much so that there's a lot of stuff that's set up in the second movie that you're like, I got to wait until this is paid off. Hey, he just learned we just established that he knows how to shoot a gun. That's good. Like in a Western video game. And they go, oh, you're in the Old West now. Well, we've established that you know how to shoot a gun.
I think I saw a little bit of the last one.
Right.
There's a train thing that goes
It's all fine. But here's the other big problem.
Yeah.
So where we're going, we don't need roads.
Yes.
And the other thing they set up huge, like just hammer over and over again in the first film is the slightest thing you do in the past will alter the future now irrevocably.
Yeah.
You can't tell me if I'm going to die. You can't do this in any way. And then Marty sends him a little note and they do. They make that one little break and it's like, okay, you did this one time. It was okay. But listen, the biggest thing you can do is not change the past. Third movie, Doc goes in the past, starts fucking around with a lady, raising her kids, having a family. I'm going to stay in the past. What's wrong with you, butterfly effect? What's wrong with you? You're raising a family of butterflies. What's wrong with you? Everything you're doing is erasing everything from our present by the rules that you have set up.
It should have been shown in parallel screen so that you see the future just constantly changing and buildings disappearing and people appearing and disappearing.
And all these kids that look like Christopher Lloyd because he's just going on a sex spree through the past, having sex with Cleopatra. Oh, boy.
When I was thinking about this, I was trying to think of older films. And I was like, well, there's tons of modern films. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to think, but there's like hardly any sequels from the past. Like people just didn't think of like, well,
there wasn't even reruns of TV shows until like the late 50s.
Yeah. The only one I could think of, it was sort of disappointing, was After the Thin Man, which I think was the second Thin Man film that had Jimmy Stewart as the villain, which seems so inapt to have Jimmy Stewart in any way be a villain. Even his like announcement of that he was a criminal, you know, that's right, I did it. You know, just in that kind of, this kind of Jimmy Stewart voice. You're just like, no, this is not working.
Don't buy it.
Don't buy it at
Don't
all.
Don't buy it
This
at
is
all.
The worst. This is dumb. And then the other one I was thinking about was the Road to films. The Road to Baal, the Road to...
Which aren't really sequels. They're just really the sequels, same characters.
But and they all get better and better, though,
it's,
too.
It's kind of like Charlie Chaplin's The Tramp, and he's the tramp.
I mean, unless you're like a stickler for people staying within the you know, not breaking the fourth wall in a film.
Right.
Those films really get better and better. I mean, the final one, I think, is Road to Utopia, and it's like a brilliant film and lots of fun. So I was like, well, that doesn't work. Those are all good.
Well,
so.
there's films that are not great, but they don't destroy the first film. Like something like a Ghostbusters 2 is not good.
I haven't seen it.
But it does not mess up the theme of the first film. But you have something like a Die Hard 3, and that does. Now your Die Hard.
I'm trying to think of
The first Die Hard movie, and I'm not counting the Frank Sinatra movie that could be considered a prequel to Die Hard.
The Detective.
Look into it. It's a prequel. But in Die Hard, the whole thing is I'm on the outs with my wife.
Yeah.
And the whole
but I love her.
But I love her, and I'm trying to make this work.
Yeah.
By the end of it, they're together. They've been through this tragedy.
Yeah.
They're both very smart.
Yeah.
They work together.
Yeah.
They're together. Things are great.
Same in the second film, in a way. I mean, I know she's trapped in the train, or plane, I should say, train, in the plane.
Yeah.
But they're working on it.
Still a little rough times, but you know, there you go. Third film, we got a divorce.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't you go fuck yourself, movie? How about no, you didn't get a divorce? Yeah, stop it.
Yeah, it kind of carries that on, too, in the fourth one's the same.
Like, just stop it.
No, it doesn't work.
You don't do that at all. Mm-hmm. At all. You know, you can do a little aside, like, you know, again, Speed 2. Terrible movie. Okay. Does not destroy Speed 1.
I like how few of these films I've seen.
The whole point of Speed 1 isn't that they've got to fall in love. Because who cares? Now she's with a new guy in Speed 2. That's fine. She moved on with her life. I'm all right with that. But Die Hard, the whole point is he's going through hell to get to... In Dante's Inferno, who's he going for? He is a girl.
Beatrice.
That's his Beatrice.
Yeah.
But Beatrice is also working towards it. He gets to the end, Beatrice, and then like, they got a divorce. So
no
movie. No, okay. I say not. X-Men.
Oh, okay.
X-Men 3. Okay, the whole thing.
Saw it. Don't remember it.
That's fair enough. Well,
this is a real mishmash.
The latest,
so it's hard to remember
the
what
latest
happened.
X-Men movie.
Yes, Days of Future Past.
Its only purpose seems to be erasing X-Men 3.
Good idea.
Just like we're gonna go back, and that movie never happened.
Yeah.
Because here's the problem with X-Men 3. X-Men 1 and 2. 2 is a fine film, but 2 especially.
2's fun.
2 especially sets up, you know, them going to the president because the president, you know, wants them all registered and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And he goes to like, look. You know, we exist. We deserve the right to be alive. You're fearful and your fear of us is wrong. That's prejudice. And we, you know, deserve rights and all this. Okay.
Can I just ask him questions about 2?
Yeah.
Does 2 end with the kind of setup for the Dark Phoenix or Jean Grey Phoenix thing?
A little bit, yeah. A little tiny,
and then
tiny
it has
bit.
Cyclops.
Not dark, but like, is she dead? She's not.
It doesn't Cyclops then disappear though? They just find his glasses or something and he's gone.
No, that's the third film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the third film where she kills him for no reason off camera. It's bad. The thing about the second film, their moral of
they
this
must
whole
really
thing.
Hate that James Marsden guy.
Oh, it looks like it, eh? And yet he seems so nice and he's good in everything.
He seems like
even 30 Rock. He's
I enjoyed
good
him
in
Two Guns. It was
I didn't even mind him in Superman Returns. He's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Though that was not a great idea. So the whole thing is like, don't fear the unknown. It's like, what's being a mutant a metaphor for? It's being metaphor for being gay. Let's go with that. You're born this way. That's what you are.
Yeah.
Here we go. Don't fear prejudice. No. They actually say this whole thing to the president. We're not going to take your crap, Mr. President. This is in 2.
Okay.
All right. But, you know, we deserve our freedom and we deserve all this.
Yeah.
Good for you. You know, human rights, mutant rights. There we go.
Yeah.
Third film. You cut to a prequel where you see like Charles and Magneto find Jean Grey and she's so powerful. They're like, this is really dangerous. We got an atomic bomb here. This could danger all of humanity. Let's just hope for the best on this. I'm like, wait a minute. So everyone's fears were completely right.
Yeah.
Like basically their fears are absolutely accurate.
Yeah.
And the whole thing there is we've got a cure for this mutant problem, which will take away their powers. Oh, you mean, and which will save the world from this, like, not just counting Magneto, who's fucking everything up and, like, breaking our bridges and killing, you know, hundreds of people, you know, but also this gal who's basically going to destroy the world.
Yeah.
And why is she destroying the world? Because you guys went, we'll deal with that later. We'll kick that can down the road a bit and we'll have to kick it later. And no, you incompetent boobs. You're terrible.
We'll
to the
burn
point
that
where,
bridge when we come to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you killing us is the wrong thing to do. And the moral of this one is, us killing us is the right thing to do. Us killing each other, that's the way it is.
Mm.
What? Huh? What do you do? So Wolverine has to kill her. It's just, well, then you're idiots. Then you shouldn't have all this power, and you don't know what you're doing, and there you are.
Yeah.
All the metaphors, gone. Mm-hmm. Boo, third X-Men movie.
Okay.
Screw it up on
can
that.
Can I bring up one then that I think you'll agree with, which is that Indiana Jones and Temple Doom followed by, or Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom, I think is a...
Which is technically a prequel.
Which is technically a prequel, but as a sequel, kind of cancels out things that we learn about him in the first film.
He's never seen magic before or anything magic supernatural before.
Yeah.
Before.
And so it's... I just one of the even though I really like Temple of Doom as a standalone film, but I think if you're looking at it as part of like this world of Indiana Jones, it's really strange, and it's almost like I guess there was a time when people didn't care about this stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like there was a time when say Doctor Who, you could just say something in one season and the next season say something totally different.
Right.
And no one said, "Oh, wait a second, didn't last season you say blah?" You know, just because people didn't, it wasn't there to look at.
And then fanfic would tie it together many years later.
Well, maybe that, or people just didn't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, well, the Doctor has 13 regenerations. Someone said that. It's only now that people are like locked into this idea. In those days, they didn't care. They're just like, whatever, let's throw a number out there. Whatever. They just didn't care. Like, they weren't thinking in terms of like that sort of, and I almost feel like the Temple of Doom films or the Indiana Jones films are the same. They're just like, oh, what, continuity? Well, I don't care about continuity. It's just dumb films. They're just like making old serials. So who cares?
Well, the first
one makes no sense next to the next.
The first film was a tribute to the films that, you know, Spielberg and Lucas liked.
Yeah.
The serials.
But so was the second one.
No, the second one was a tribute to the first film. And then the third
really?
One. Well, yeah.
It's a tribute to like Gunga Din and those kind of films.
It felt like they were hitting the same beats, like in the same rhythm.
Well,
that
yes.
Because Indiana Jones, because Raiders of the Lost Ark, while they were doing a tribute to all these serials.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have, like the serials, if you watch old serials, they take a long time to get that cliffhanger. And what they did was they trimmed it down by about a third. And so like, yeah. I forget, like, but every 10 minutes or something, you got a really good action scene.
Yeah.
And no films had that much action before.
Yeah.
So it's the second film. They had to keep up that same pacing that they did.
Yeah.
But it just felt okay. And it felt, I mean, I don't like the film because I feel it's unnecessarily cruel. Mm. I feel the women are dumb. I think they're just trying to be mean for mean's sake. And you can't do that when you're doing that kind of character. It just feels inappropriate to me.
What character?
To Indiana Jones.
Okay. Because he's such an enlightened person?
I think he's trying his best. I think he's the most enlightened of, like, he's always standing next to someone who's worse. So he's next to the other archaeologist who's, you know, the worst guy.
Yeah.
And in this case, you know, and he's like with a smart gal and you're like, yeah, I could see how he'd fall for her and they might break up and they might whatever. But then when he's with Dummy Jumminson, yeah. And then he's taking Short Round with him. Mm. It's like, why is he bringing a kid into this? He's not Batman. Why is he bringing Robin into this horrible situation? This doesn't seem safe at all.
No, I would agree. No, I'll agree with all your criticisms of it. It's just that I do like the film. I think it's an exciting roller coaster ride.
It literally has a roller coaster.
Has a roller coaster in it. Yes.
Yeah.
It's like they said, let's make a roller coaster ride. And someone took them at their word and put it in a roller coaster ride.
And then
the
in the third film, they go, hey, you want to know everything about his background and why he's scared of everything and everything that influenced him? Let's put it all within about 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's a little bit.
Oh, okay. Everything that he loves and hates, we're going to shove it all into this one thing.
All that Kali stuff comes from Gunga Din, the film Gunga Din.
Oh, okay.
If you've never seen it, it's quite a good film. It's Cary Grant and Victor McLaughlin
and
another actor.
I will definitely check it out.
Maybe the actor who is related to another actor who is a famous silent film star, whose name I can't think of right now.
Okay.
But kind of an adventure actor, like his dad was a, you know, an action actor. But yeah.
No, I'll definitely, anyway, I'll definitely check that out.
It's a fun film, but that's where they're borrowing from. I mean, obviously they hyped it up to '80s. They 80-sized it and made it into this big spectacle, but
they did what you do, which is you take two things, put them together, and all of a sudden you got something unique, and that's your thing now, which is, you know, this kind of pacing plus old-timey cliffhangers, and we're just going to give them to you all in a row, a real sweet, like, bunch of all in a row.
Okay, you got more films here.
Oh, do I ever, my friend. I don't want to keep you all guys too late.
Yeah.
Anyway, let me just say this. RoboCop, the first movie, got the point.
Yes.
And there was satire.
Yes.
And it was, and then the second film's done, and third film done, written by Frank Miller, who just mean, didn't get the point.
Yeah.
You're killing off the partner. We don't want any of that. Basically, stop killing off. When you got a female, you know, person who's like almost the character's equal in your first movie, you know, they respect, there's a bond. Don't, one, give them a divorce, and don't kill them off in the later films, because you're not helping the movie. I know you're thinking that's where you get your drama from.
Yeah.
That's not a good source of drama. It just it ruins the previous movies, because then you watch those movies and go like, yeah, they're going to die in two films. Who cares? Now, here's a big one for me. Real big one. I did that one already. Dark Knight Rises.
Yes, terrible.
Yeah, terrible. Really, really terrible.
Yeah, it's a terrible film.
And here's the worst part about Dark Knight Rises. Batman's career goes from I'm studying for I don't know how many years to train to do this one task. Yeah. I'm going to my city. I'm going to do this task. Oh, my old boss showed up.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Okay. All right. I got to deal with him first, because there's some baggage from my past.
Yeah.
So I can get on to what I'm going to do, which is protect this city. Okay. I dealt with my boss.
Yeah.
All right. Fine. Now I'm going to protect the city. First
from
thing.
From rock and roll.
Yeah. That's right. Because someone built it on it. That is just not safe foundation.
Not safe at all. No.
Okay, what's this card you say? Oh, the Joker's in town. There's a guy named the Joker. Okay, well, this is the first case that I'm really going to be on, because this is my first.
So does the first film end with him, with the Joker appearing?
He's given a card by Commissioner Gordon.
Oh.
There's this guy, he's flamboyant, and it's a Joker card.
Okay.
He left this on the scene.
And all his henchmen as well. There's a card there and a pile of henchmen.
Nope, there was no henchmen.
A pile of dead henchmen.
Nope, just
and a
old
card.
The Joker, and you're going, ooh, adventures
just,
to follow.
I'm just speculating, because that seems to be his.
He does like killing a henchman.
Yes, all of them.
You're absolutely right.
Yes.
So okay, so you're setting this up, and like, oh, that's exciting, Batman. Mm-hmm. You know, especially after we're coming off of the Schumacher Batman movies, where they're silly and goofy, and they're like, oh, we're on the right track. Yeah. And they're like, how's this Dark Knight movie gonna be?
Yeah.
Who? How's it gonna be? Fucking fantastic! It's great. Oh my gosh! So he's beating the Joker, and he establishes things where, like, I'm not gonna kill the Joker.
Yeah.
The Joker's going to prison. We're not doing that dumb thing where we're killing the villain at the end of every film.
Yeah.
You know, and the Joker's saying, you know, I bet we're gonna be having this battle over and over again. Ooh, in your mind, you're like, they are. This is the start of Batman's career. Now it's all beginning. That was the first one. Here we go. Next film. My knee hurts. I'm quitting. And you see, it's years later, and he's quit because he's with a problem in the knee.
Oh,
I don't
boy.
Like my knee hurting, and I'm going to talk to the doctor for Memento.
Was it a couple of years? It wasn't that long. It was like 6 months, wasn't it?
What?
I think in the film, not. Yeah, it wasn't like a long time.
Because he got thin and weak fast.
I know, but it wasn't like a huge time that passed.
Right, and didn't you set, like, I understand
really
if you're a regular man,
you're
a regular human man, and you're doing all this stuff, it's going to mess you up.
Sid Fields.
Yeah.
He's the guy who wrote that book about script writing. We were trying to think of it last week.
That's great. Thanks for answering your question from last week.
No problem.
Could you edit that into last week's show so it would make sense? This is funny. This is like,
into my head.
Yeah. Let's ask a question this week.
Okay.
And then you'll see, you know, how many different color grapes are in the Fruit of the Loom underwear? Answer next week, Dave.
Well, I don't know that, but, you know,
the answer is two different colored grapes.
Oh, was that right?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so.
Purple and green?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Okay. So, Batman, my knee hurts. I don't like what I'm doing in my job. So I'm quitting. And then he's forced back into it.
Yes.
Here's my problem. Is like, if you're a regular guy, you're going to have...
There are so many problems with
you're
that
gonna
film.
Have, but here's the thing. You're going to have some knee issues being a superhero. Because you're going, realistically, here's the situation. But we're not realistic, man.
Yeah.
We're in fantasy land.
Exactly.
You know why? Because I was just in Shangri-La learning ninja tricks and doing all this stuff with, like, potions and and now I've just gone to the government and I've gotten the best armor, and you're telling me my knee hurts.
Yes.
No, dude, we've just set up why your knee isn't hurting. We've set it up. You're not just a guy. You're not in an Adam West suit.
Yeah, he's getting arthritis.
Yeah, you're
the constant batarang throwing.
Well, why don't you talk to your ninja friends? Find out how they have aches and pains after a ninja all night.
Oh, they do. Though.
Oh, it hurts my back. Okay, so he's forced back into being Batman. Yeah. Well, that doesn't sound very
he's
Batman.
He's pulled back in.
Yeah, and so he's going for his first battle. I'm not good at it anymore. Ook! Outbreak! Smash! Throw in a hole. Okay, so you're not very good.
But then once again, that whole sequence, he gets his back broken.
Yeah.
6 months later, he's fine. He's running around.
Yeah, he's running around. He's
fighting.
Fine. He's better than he was with his bum knee.
Oh, he's great.
You know why? Because
he's magical.
Right, because he's using mystical shit. But you've already done the mystical shit. We know. You went to Ninja Land.
Yeah.
You've dealt with Ra's al Ghul. This is the same fucking hell spa that you went to before. We know how to do this. So anyway, I get to jump over the thing and you do. And now I'm fighting. And at the end of it, I quit. So Batman's whole thing of Batman Begins, from Batman Begins to Batman Quits and just goes bumming around Europe trying to find himself with his new gal. I don't know. How many years is that? Just like, it's nothing.
2 years.
Yeah.
It's not that long.
It makes the first two films now like, really? This asshole. We're building up to, yeah. Yeah. Did you care about the city at all? No, I'm going to leave it in the hands of this guy. Who? Yeah. This cop. Wait a second. This cop? Does he know how to be a Batman? Eh. Does he know how to use the equipment? I don't know. Yeah. Boo. Yeah. Yes. It takes away. Batman Begins, but he doesn't end. And because, you know, Batman doesn't, you know, ends too soon, I guess, then Batman Begins blows.
It's a terrible, terrible, terrible film.
It's a terrible world we live in, isn't it? And you haven't seen Amazing Spider-Man, so I can't say why that movie screws up the first film, but okay. It does.
Okay.
Everything it sets up and is like, you know, there you go. Huh? There's hope and there's no.
Yeah.
And they do the thing that I've talked about earlier. Boo on that as well.
So the film that I was thinking about was Godzilla versus the Smog Monster. Because that film... No, I just... I got nowhere to go after that.
Yeah. If we weren't running late, I would also say the American Pie films. Every one of them that followed American Pie. The whole thing about, hey, you're growing up, and you know what? You know, this is that last thing, but now we're going to mature. And here we... No, you're all idiots forever.
You know what's funny about those films is that...
Where he fucks a pie.
Fucks a pie.
That was pretty funny.
That's what you think. But what's funny is one of my daughters was watching it when I... You know, I was in the home, and I came walking by, and I said, "Oh, what are you watching?" I said, "Oh," I looked at it for a second, went, "Oh, it's American Pie." And then she looked at me, and she gave me this look like, "This is the dumbest, most horrible thing I've ever watched in my life." Just that kind of look on her face, like, and I just kind of thought, "That's so weird," because when I watched it, oh, those many years ago, I was kind of like, "Well, this is not bad. This is kind of fun. This is a fun film. Had its moments in Bandcamp. You know, I enjoyed that part of it, and I think I didn't enjoy the fucking the pie part." This is dumb and gross. I don't like that kind of stuff.
It doesn't make a lot of sense, frankly.
It does not. I've never in my life.
A lot of sense. Also,
he's a teenage boy.
Yeah. Take the pie to your room.
You're going to eat the pie. You're not going to fuck a pie. You're going to eat a pie. No one on earth, when given a choice of a pie, that they're going to fuck it.
Okay. I don't know. There might be some people who try that.
No.
Okay.
I don't believe it.
Fair enough.
I don't believe it.
Eugene Levy was fine in it.
Yes, he was very good.
Here's
the problem with that was that he did other movies after.
Yeah. As that character. Forever. Stop it. Stop being in every one of these. You don't have to be in every one of these.
Yeah.
I think why you might have liked it more than, say, your daughter, is you and I grew up in an era of that kind of comedy, which was the, I'm going to show you breasts three times in this film comedy.
Sure, that's great. Right?
That was it. It was like it was like the movie's comedy was an excuse to see nudity.
Yes.
And it was like it justified it because I'm watching it for the comedy.
Sure.
Right? And so this was the first of those movies to actually kind of try and treat that intelligently and do the jokes better and actually have some heart to it. And the scenes with him and his dad were good. And then, you know, Allison Hannigan was, you know, oh, that's a sexy nerd thing. Well, all right. I'm all on board. And then everyone forgot the point of the movie and then made all these horrible sequels afterwards. Boo. But your daughter, I think, has been through more intelligent television since then. And so this stuff don't fly.
Yeah.
TV's gotten better. Teenagers have gotten smarter. This stuff.
I wouldn't go that far, but I think television's gotten, entertainment's a little more sophisticated than that. And I think, I just think that sort of, when I say that I enjoyed that film, I have to say that I didn't enjoy it that much. I thought it was okay, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but for that genre of movie...
It's no Animal House.
Right, but it's like watching a kung fu movie. If you have a kung fu movie and they actually throw some heart into it, you're like, oh, that was a surprise.
Yeah.
And you're watching that kind of, you know, sex comedy, you know, thing. You're like, oh, that was better than a normal sex comedy would be. All right, I'll give you good for you movie. But, you know, to someone coming... But there's no justification for the 8 sequels.
Yeah.
There's no justification for that at all. They should not have more sequels than Saw. That should not occur. No.
Yeah. There's some films like... I was trying to think of films that... my problem is I'm thinking of films like... I like The Fly. There was The Fly 2. I don't remember that movie at all. Fly 2. I mean, I think I saw it
in
video.
I just know it because of a lot of local actors in Vancouver that got killed in it. That I got to watch people I know getting killed.
They filmed part of it at a place where Lisa taught writing.
Well, the first film, you know, this opens with the sort of idea of like the woman gives birth to the kid and it's like, oh, what's that going to be? But they did that in the first film. Remember, they had the whole fantasy sequence. Fantasies, so like, base covered, man. You can't just do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that, and you're like, oh, who cares? Mm-hmm. Well, is it going to be fine then? Is there going to be any ideas? No, there's no ideas to it. All right. It doesn't negate the first film, though, so it's just it just stands as
it's
crappy
kind of a
sequel.
Carryover, That's what I was thinking, too, when I was thinking, well, you know, there's lots of sequels, but most of them aren't dire. Most of them are just bad films that you're just kind of...
Right.
They're nowhere near what the first one was.
Okay,
Caddyshack 2 is a pale comparison.
Yeah, by that point, you're not expecting that much from Chevy Chase.
No,
you know, enough. You're fine.
Yeah.
But something like the sequels to Cube actually were bad in that they explained too much of what the first film was. The first film was,
yeah, you don't
who
want that,
did
right?
this?
Yeah.
Why is this? And then the third one, oh, it's this. And also this.
Yeah.
Well then
they,
shut it.
They matrixed it.
Yeah, you don't want to know that.
Yeah, you don't want to know
it. Leave a little mystery.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, and so, and then the other film I was trying to think of, no, I can't remember what it was now, because it was in my head and now it's gone. Sorry. Forget about it. Oh, Godfather. Godfather 3. Once again, I've only seen that film once.
Yeah, me too.
A long time ago.
I saw it before I saw the other. Well, I haven't seen Godfather
really?
2, actually.
Oh, you still haven't seen Godfather 2? Okay, no. See, those films are fantastic films and then they fit together like perfectly, because Godfather 1, you have this sort of exciting sequence of events that, you know, turn this person in a kind of exciting way into an evil person.
Yeah.
Into you know, and but you're kind of dragged into it by the way the film works, you know, that it presents this kind of family situation and that you're part of it. You feel this kind of part of this family, and it's even though they're doing terrible things to other people, because you're in this thing with them, it's fine. The second film is very like Macbeth or something like that, where it's just like, you know, this kind of evil that just sort of drips from this person and just ruins everything. But it goes back and forth. You see his father or his grandfather, you see the Marlon Brando character played by Robert De Niro working his way through, you know, up to becoming what he was, becoming the Godfather. And then you see his son, Al Pacino, you know, his legacy of corruption and just horribleness carrying on this. And it's a very interesting dynamic how these two films work together. When you get to the third film, there's no point to it because it really doesn't, it's not necessary. You know, and it tries to kind of make him a good character again.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. You know, you can't
buy that back.
You can't buy that because you've already created a situation where he's just, you know, he kills. Oh, I don't want to tell you what he does because
okay,
I think
you should see
that film. But, you know, he does these rotten things, you know, in the name of the family.
Yeah, you justify it along the way.
That's
yeah.
right. And it becomes more and more about yourself. And pretty soon nothing has any meaning anymore at all. And then you can't suddenly like have family important again.
Yeah, they kind of made him. Yeah, they tried to make him a good guy. And it's like, no, you can have a quest for redemption.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about that that I could buy. Like,
okay.
You know, in your last years. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I want to make up.
You've gotten a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And now what do you do? There's the whole. I mean, my problem. People for a long time have been trying to get me to see The Sopranos. And to me, here's my problem with The Sopranos. I know people in my life who have been actually touched by the mafia. And the mafia is so evil and destroys so many lives that to me it'd be like watching it, like a series about a mafia guy with an anxiety disorder is like watching a series about a Nazi who just can't get sleep at night. He's really got some sleep apnea and he's working through some issues.
You're right.
So I can never get past the I want them to be caught. Now with the mafia thing in The Godfather, I see what they're doing, which is they set it up as in like they're bad, but everyone's bad.
Yeah.
Everyone's corrupt. By the way, they're also racist towards them. So we're, you know, all these things factor into why you're driving this person to this evil thing, and you can see it justified. Whereas you couldn't do that with a Nazi and just go, maybe that Nazi's got a point. You really couldn't do that.
That's pretty hard.
And that's why those movies don't get made.
Yeah.
But
good Nazi. I don't think that's
But in the end, you know, when I'm seeing, you know, like in the third film, when I'm seeing him there, I'm just like, well, you've just been like the amount of people's lives you have screwed up. You can't have clean.
It's a
hands.
Weird whitewash because it doesn't work. You know, you've already set up the character as this, you know, this sort of ultra powerful, you know, like I say, sort of that sort of Macbeth, but a successful one, not one that had none, you know, Dunstan Woods didn't march on him.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it kind of, you know, it's just a perfect. Two perfect films together.
And again, the first film works for me because the end of that, at least if I'm remembering this correctly, is, and sorry if I'm ruining anything for anyone out there, is, you know, he doesn't want to be part of it,
Yeah.
The door is shutting. His wife is on the other side of the door. Is that how that one ends? I think it's like, you know, and he's being set, and like, he's become...
You're talking about the first one, right?
Yeah. And the door is shutting, and it's like... Oh, he's gotten the thing.
Yeah.
He's become the
thing.
He's
getting his hand is being kissed by someone, I think.
Yeah.
And it's so he's become this. He's become his father.
But he's in that he's now losing his wife. He's becoming this thing. And now he's the thing that he's been trying to protect, the family, the one he loves the most, is being pushed away. So even though he's getting this is a huge thing is being taken away. And you can almost, to me, I can justify that in my head of just like, okay, he's not getting it all.
Yeah.
But like when we're starting with The Godfather 3. He seems to be doing fine.
Yeah.
He's been cruising for a couple of decades.
Yeah.
Things seem fine. You know what? Then fuck that guy. You know, I don't care how many oranges he puts in his mouth. I don't care what... I just remember there was oranges involved.
Are you sure you've seen Godfather 2?
Well, I know there was... I've seen enough parodies that I know. But I know, like, when... Again, spoilers for Godfather 3. When he dies, doesn't he, like, pass out and he, like, fall over and there's oranges and oranges go, like, rolling and everyone goes, ah, oranges.
I don't remember.
Aren't you glad you remember the first couple of movies with the oranges? Because oranges, huh? Symbolism.
Yeah. Aren't you glad you didn't wear a bandana?
Huh?
When you robbed the bank.
There you are.
Yeah.
And then everyone, like, picked on Sofia Coppola.
Yeah, but for a reason, which is, you know, this kind of weird nepotism that... But apparently...
In a big shit film, though. That's the thing. It's like, if they're going to dump on anybody, why don't we just dump on everything? Because this is a big dumperoo.
Because that popular actress from that time...
Winona Ryder.
Dropped out of it at the last minute.
Isn't that weird now, thinking of just like, you could have gotten Winona Ryder for The Godfather 3. Just play that around in your head. Run that around in your noodle. Just like, hey guys, Winona Ryder, The Godfather 3. Wouldn't that have been great? Think about it. Huh? Don't you feel dumb now? Like going like, all upset about Winona Ryder not being in The Godfather 3.
That's right. And Sofia Coppola could have been in Reality Bites. There you go.
What a different world we live in.
Well, it would be so mixed up and weird.
And now she's a great director. So there you go.
Yeah.
Or a really good director.
That's pretty good director. I saw the, I can't remember the name of it.
There you go.
The one about the queen, the French queen.
Oh, Le Queen.
Le Queen, yeah. Lorraine.
There you are.
Yeah.
Marie Antoinette.
La Reine.
Marie Antoinette.
That's
was it?
Yes.
Eh, well, there you are.
Yeah.
It was a thing. Anyway, folks.
I'm not paid to remember this stuff.
This, I wonder if people would consider our Completely Beatles podcast a sequel to this one.
A long show.
Yeah. Would the Completely Beatles be a sequel to this show?
It's a prequel.
Oh, that's a prequel?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fair enough. No, that might be the sequel that people like more than the original.
Yeah.
Now we need to make the third podcast and really fuck it up.
Oh boy.
And do stuff that takes away from everything that we've said in this one. Like you know, everything we've said about our past, just rewrite that completely. Rewrite it completely.
Okay.
You give ourselves a very different relationship.
Sure.
We have broken up by that point, for sure. We'll see what happens.
Sure.
But anyway, that's the trilogy.
It'll be our Rolling Stones podcast, Completely Stoned.
Mm-hmm. Trilogies. We can talk about trilogies another time too, because those can be unrelated. They can be like the Edgar Wright Cornetto trilogy,
or like the Man with No Name, the Spaghetti Western trilogy.
Oh, we can.
Those films aren't really related
for future podcasts, my friend.
Sure.
We've talked a lot, but we want to hear from you as always. Please write to us on our message board. SneakyDragon.com is where you find that. It's
our
working.
Yes, right.
Or Sneaky Dragon Facebook page, or
that's also working.
Sneaky_Dragon on Twitter. And what is our email address, David?
SneakyD@SneakyDragon.com.
And if you haven't looked at our t-shirts on the Sneaky Dragon page lately, there's a bunch of fun stuff on there. Go check it out. You know, order something. Wear us on your bodies. Why don't you?
We're probably wrecking our t-shirt sales by telling people we're giving away a t-shirt.
Yeah. One t-shirt given away will totally destroy our
sales. People are just like, I don't want to buy a t-shirt if I'm going to win one.
Yeah.
So there'll probably be like a shibboleth of orders after the question show.
A shibboleth. I've asked what too many words are so far, so I'm not even going to ask that. If you know what shibboleth is, write us. Maybe you'll win a t-shirt. You probably won't win a t-shirt for that. And if we've missed any sequels that ruined the actual previous movie,
let
us know that as well, because I know our listeners are very movie literate.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to the show. We have gone on for a very long time.
This has been a long show. We're sorry, everybody.
We are Canadian and we're sorry.
We hope that you turned us off at some point and took a little break off
from we probably didn't talk about any Canadian movies. Okay, the Porky's sequels. They ruined Porky's. There, I'll do that. There, done.
Christmas Story?
Christmas Story ruined Porky's?
No, Christmas Story 1 and 2.
Oh, geez. Yeah, let's not even remember. Oh, well, terrible memories that we're ending that on. Okay, wrapping up now. I'm Ian Boothby.
I'm David Dedrick.
Thanks for listening. And remember, it's an honor just to be nominated. We got nothing.
It's an honor just to be nominated.
That's as good as this is going to get. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
It's just the main problem. And again, don't use any of this in here.